Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hal Gill in for Floyd. Okay, so I am convinced Barry Trotz, who just signed today as the head coach of the New York Islanders, the Stanley Cup winning Barry Trotz, I am convinced the Nashville Predators dodged a bullet today. And I was even more convinced when we just talked to Pete Weber there about it. But this is why I'm convinced they dodged a bullet. Because I look at the Central Division, the division that the Preds play in, and I think for the most part, every team in that division is good outside of maybe St. Louis. Like, I think everybody is good. I think Colorado is good now. Like, I think they will be good. The Punch and Judy Avs, who were like the puppies when you played them this year, are like going to grow up into some dogs. Like, they're not going to be bad. I think Chicago, I know they were terrible this past year and they got cap problems, but they still got two of the best players in the world. So don't count out Chicago. I think Dallas, Sagan, and Ben, and I mean, they've got studs. I think Dallas has the potential to be good. Minnesota has the, like, all these teams in this division have the potential to be good. And then there's you in Winnipeg. And I just worry that one of those teams has a bad year next year and they fire their coach. And if Barry Trotz were still available, they could then go get Barry Trotz. And now Colorado has a bad year. Jared Bednar gets fired. Barry Trotz is the coach and he's got MacKinnon. And now where are you? And so for him going to the Islanders, a team that is almost as far away from you as could be in the hockey world, I think is a great, great, great thing. And I think the Preds dodged a bullet in that regard.
With all due respect to Barry Trotz, I don't know if he's the guy that you bring in to light a fire and get and go win right now. I think he's more of the guy that you bring in to create a culture. I think he's probably more what the Islanders are looking for out of him is, you know, with a he's got a 5-year contract.
5 years, $20 million. So Barry, go get paid, baby.
So with 5 years, that gives him time to for Lou Lamoriello and him to kind of build a team. So going back to your point, I don't know if it's not like this, you know, there's coaches that come into a locker room and you know, you're losing and this guy rights a ship and so, you know, Hitchcock was kind of like that, you know, guys. Like, you used to bring in Mike Keenan. He'd yell at guys, and guys would be horrified. And you, all of a sudden, everyone's going 1,000 miles an hour because you get a kick in the butt. I don't know if Barry Trotz is that guy. Trotz, he's the guy that makes everyone play together and as a family, and it's not a jumpstart kind of coach. He's kind of a building a program kind of coach.
I don't want them to build a program in Dallas where they have really good young players.
Yeah, but – you know, I think right now the Preds are going for it right now. So I'm worried about now. You know, let's worry about down the road. And you know, there's other coaches that I think, say Quenneville's gone in Chicago after 10 games. There's, you know, they're going to want someone to get in there to light a fire on those guys to get them to play quick. Like they still got some good players they don't want to give up on, right?
Right.
So that's a team you worry about right now.
But wouldn't you worry about Chicago right now with Trotz? Like, because Quenneville is kind of, I think,
I don't know,
kind of the opposite of Trotz. You know, like, he is abrasive. He is, you know.
But he's a player's coach. I think he's similar to Trotz. I think.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I never played for him, but I know people around. Oh, I love Q. I love Q. Yeah, he's great. You know, he's the guy that pulls you over and you know. Like, you look at what he did to Seabrook. He to bench a guy of that importance with that contract, with that, you know, his background, everything he's done. He benched him for a game, and Seabrook is like, "Yeah, I need to play better. I'll take my licks and then come back and try to be better." You know, that's a coach that, you know, goes and talks to his player and has a rapport with the player, as opposed to a guy that comes back and says, "I hate that coach. I want to trade right now," right? Because that could happen with an abrasive coach. I think you would have gotten some kickback from a guy like Seabrook.
You don't think that, say, Barry Trotz in Minnesota, Like, say you take Boudreau out and you put Trotz in, because I don't think
Boudreau's a different bird. He's a different cat altogether. He's kind of I don't know what to think of him.
I think he's a total pants pooper when it comes to those big moments. His teams always wet the bed, always, and that's like his thing.
He's a pants pooper that wets the bed.
I mean, it's a very messy situation. So he's got Minnesota's like Minnesota's got guys now. Like, I know they went for it a couple years ago and they didn't.
Well, they had
anything,
a team. They should have been. But competitive.
I mean, they're good. They've got a goalie.
Injuries.
Like, they are good. Yeah. And you put Trotz in that mix, like, now I'm worried about Minnesota if Trotz is there. I'm not worried about Minnesota with Boudreau as coach.
All right.
Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz and those guys in St. Louis. You know, St. Louis, I thought St. Louis had a pretty good culture, just not enough talent, you know, especially goaltending, things like that. And then you get a coach like Mike Yeo in there who cries out in the press conference. Forget that guy. Like, Trotz in St. Louis, I mean, he could get Tarasenko and those guys rolling in the defensive team. I'm just glad that Trotz is not going to be coaching in the Central Division.
Good coach. Yeah, I guess you're right. But
like, do you think Mike Yeo with the Blues is a good coach? Because I don't.
I played for Mike Yeo as an assistant coach in Pittsburgh, and I like him, but he can be an emotional guy, and I think that's what you were seeing is the emotion come out of him. So it depends on what kind of team you have, whether you want to have that emotion. You know, I don't know necessarily about him, but Bednar is a great coach. Quinville is a great coach.
Paul
Hitchcock,
Maurice is a great coach.
Paul Maurice, we saw, was a great coach.
God, he's a great coach.
Yeah, I mean, so there's some good coaches. I do like Boudreau. I think he's a good coach.
Change the sheets.
I'll agree with you a little bit on that, but I think that comes down to the emotional effect that sometimes you can't have that on certain teams. Other times it can trigger your team to get going. It depends on the team and your setup and how you're transferring that from the media to your team. And you know, the coaches deal with that different, so I can't speak on that. But yeah, I think in the end, you want to keep Barry Trotz away, and it's a nice little spot for him in the Islanders where you play him early on. Hopefully he doesn't have everything figured out yet.
Can I ask you my big, like, overriding Barry Trotz question? So, because you played for him and you've been around here long enough and whatnot, like, here, I think everybody thinks in Nashville, Barry Trotz is a great coach. He goes to Washington, wins the cup, and, like, they don't appreciate him enough to really keep him. Because they could have, and they didn't. And yet, like, I feel like people around the
country.
That's
a long story.
I know, but I feel like here in this town, like, I think everybody loves Peter Laviolette. They think he does a great job. I think he's underpaid. If he's making $2 million a year and Babcock's making $6.25 million, I think Laviolette's underpaid. And so, like, everybody in this town loves the coach, thinks he's a great coach, doesn't blame him for the loss in the playoffs. And yet I feel like Barry, who ended up winning the cup, doesn't get the same type of shake that Laviolette gets here.
Well, Trotsky had he made a great culture in Nashville. So that's what I think he's all about, is a culture of a team within the community. But Trotsky's issue, they have Reardon, who's been the heir apparent the whole time. Similar, you talked about Vrabel. You know, Malarkey's got to go because Vrabel's going somewhere, mm-hmm. and we better get him right now. I think Reardon was going to go coach somewhere. You know,
was he an assistant with Trotz in Washington?
Yes, yeah,
he's going to be the head coach.
That's what Trotsky, from what I understood, was going to be fired no matter what, or let go, not extended,
right.
No matter what. He always said, you know, if he wins a cup, you can't let him go. Well, they did. So I think that's the next step. I think they just moved him because they wanted to create space to bring in their guy.
So we'll take your calls, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And I think my take is, boy, do the Preds dodge a bullet with Barry Trotz going to the Islanders. An absolute bullet. Coming up next, though, a former Titans receiver has a very hot Titans wide receiver take. We will get to that coming up next. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. We are live inside of the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. People, Hal and I have been doing our push-ups every break today, and we're about to get on the floor and do 10 more. And that is because we have great joints. But not everybody is that way. Some people have bad knees, hips, shoulders, and they're keeping you from doing the things you love. And if you've got that issue and I've got your attention, then chances are you're probably someone who values your future health and quality of life. That's why if you do and you have a problem, you need to see my friends at Innovative Medical Solutions. That's right. If arthritis is slowing you down and you may be facing a joint replacement surgery, Innovative Medical Services, Innovative Medical Solutions could be for you with their services. It is an exciting, effective solution that so many Americans have already turned to. It's called regenerative medicine, and it's a branch of medicine that helps your body repair itself naturally without surgery and no downtime. That's what Innovative Medical Solutions is all about. So before you see a surgeon or resort to pain pills, go see my friends at Innovative Medical Solutions for that safe alternative. Let the doctors over there evaluate you and see if you're a good candidate for this life-changing treatment. Innovative Medical Solutions can take care of you. And when you give them a call, use my name, Jared Stillman, and you'll get a free consultation. That's right. A free consultation, which is a $250 value at Innovative Medical Solutions. We know how painful knee replacement, hip replacement, we know how painful that can be. Call Innovative Medical Solutions today. Let them use regenerative medicine. Let them give you a consultation and see if you can do this without surgery and with no downtime. That's right. Innovative Medical Solutions. Call them today. 800-856-6724. That's 800-85-NO-PAIN. 800-85-NO-PAIN for Innovative Medical Solutions. Hal Gillen for Floyd. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, of course, streaming on That Game Nashville.
Are you surprised Dez doesn't have a job yet?
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's just the simple fact of who knows what these contract talks are about. I mean, he turned down... Everybody knows he turned down the one deal. I haven't been in the contract negotiation situation yet, so I don't necessarily know the ins and outs and how that works, but I'm sure he's just waiting for the right fit, the right money, and everything to work out for him. But I know he'll be on the team.
Dak Prescott with a very politically correct answer there on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. Hal Gill in for Floyd. What'd you think of Dak's politically correct response when asked about Dez Bryant?
I like the way he just totally deflected. Just like,
that's what they train you to do.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. I have no comment, and I'm rather than say no comment, I'm going to talk for a while and then basically leave no comment.
And basically say nothing.
I like that.
Are you surprised? You know, I'm not surprised because I know he's a great player and he's going to be great, and I just think that it will all work out in the end.
Everyone's happy, and it's all going to work out. You don't say anything.
Everyone's great. Everyone's in good shape.
Well, you don't want to put yourself in a bad spot.
So, speaking of politically correct, that's why we love Chris Sanders, because Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, tells it how it is. And on this show yesterday, we had him on, and I asked him about Corey Davis and the fact that Davis was hurt when they drafted him, and then Davis got hurt in training camp, and then Davis was hurt during the season, and then they get to OTAs, and they had to hold him out for something. And so Davis was hurt once again, and I asked Chris if he was worried about that, and this is what Chris said. Corey Davis was injured or not participating in some of the drills at minicamp, and that's got me all bent out of shape. Chris Sanders, does it worry you?
You know what, Jared? I hate to say this, but I'm actually on your side. And I know I think it was maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we was talking about, you know, signing Dez Bryant, and I laughed at you. I laugh at you all the time, but I laughed at you. And I don't think it's a bad idea to go get Dez Bryant, because if you have a guy, Corey Davis, and we always talk about this guy can be the next coming of Jerry Rice or whatever, but if you're not on the field and we keep talking about potential, we keep talking about what he can do, what he can make a great catch. But if you're not on the field to do that and you're constantly hurt, now you got to sit in the meeting room and say, okay, can this guy help us on the field? He can help us on paper. It looks good on paper. But we need a guy to make plays on the field. And when you don't have a guy that's constantly hurt, never on the field, never taking reps, never spending time with Mariota, not building relationship with your other receivers, then how can he be dependable if he's not there on the field?
So now you want Dez Bryant.
You know what? I hate to say it, man, but I never agree with you. I mean, because I never agree with you. But I actually agree with you. You got to get somebody in there that's going to put fear in a defense. And I just think that if Corey Davis is healthy, I believe he can do that. But if he's not healthy, he can't. So you got to get a guy that's reliable.
So in because of his fear of Corey Davis's injuries, he would think about Dez Bryant, said it's not a bad idea. What do we think of Chris Sanders' hot take about Dez Bryant to the Titans?
Well, we just talked about the Patriot way, right? That was number one reason why
NFL.com gave the Titans that they could go to the playoffs is because of Dez Bryant.
Because of the Patriot way.
Yes.
All right. Whoa, don't miss
what if it that. Is Dez, though? Oh, that'd
well,
be great.
All right. So the Patriot way, if you're going to break that down, is he's got to know. Dez Bryant's got to know he's coming to be part of the team. That's the only way this works. And that comes from internal monologue. That comes from a sit down where you say, hey, are you part of this team or are you? Because I think it works if you get a buy-in from Dez. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If Dez Bryant comes here and wants to be Dez Bryant and be the top dog and it's all revolves around him and you got to make the offense go the way Dez Bryant wants it, then I think it's a big miss.
No, you can't do that if
swing and a miss.
Like if it's going to be Dez in Dallas throwing temper tantrums on the sidelines,
yeah.
You can't do that. I think you brought up a good point, and that was like the idea that if you can sit down with Dez, because this is the definition, in my opinion, of the Patriot way, is they take guys out of the bargain bin at Walmart and they're only there because of their attitude or off the field stuff or whatever, and they, you know, sign them for less money and basically say, this is how it works here, and if you screw it up, you're gone. And it worked with Randy Moss.
Next man
and
up.
It always works. Like, it always works. So if you can sit down with Dez and say, don't be such a jerk, I think you can do it. The question is, I mean, you've played with some jerks, right?
I have, yeah.
Okay. How often would you sit down with a jerk if you were a GM and say, okay, stop being a jerk, and the jerk would say, oh, of course, I will not do any of that. I promise to be good. I promise, Hal, I will be good. And then all of a sudden, when things get bad, he's already signed his contract, then he turns back into a jerk.
Well, you need that team around. And that's the hard part is because you don't have that core group. I think the Preds, looking at the Preds, I think you could throw anyone in that locker room and there's a big enough core group that no one would challenge the way things are done. I think the Patriots have set up the Patriots way. So one guy could come in and really couldn't change that. Whereas, you know, with a new group, I don't know if you want to bring in until you establish that way, that modus operandi, that whatever it is that makes you tick as a team, as a unit, I don't think you want to disrupt it. But that's that. Like I said, that's a sit down with Dez, like, and Vrabel. You know, he's got to get a feel for that before you sign him. That would be my thought. Is that if they have a conversation, they can see eye to eye, and they can get him on Titan way. Then maybe it could work. But if it's not that way, then it's a bust.
What's your heart tell you about Dez Bryant?
I think it's a bust. That's what my heart says. I don't know that.
Why?
I just think it's – I think it's – they're trying to build up a you know, like – and you're going to get mad at me because I'm going off of Ignite the Fire.
You watch Ignite the Fire. I give you enough credit for that. The propaganda movie.
Well, he said everyone's coming from somewhere else. We got to learn from each other. That was his big. I think that's what I took out of that mostly is we're all in this together. We all came from different backgrounds. Now we're here. Now, is Dez the kind of guy that, hey, you know, you're gonna work in with this team, or is he gonna be the kind of guy that goes, I'm Dez Bryant, so I don't care what you're gonna say. I'm gonna do what I do. I don't know if he can do that.
With Dez?
Could Dez do that? Could he park it?
I don't know.
Could he park the ego? Could he put the...
Or could Vrabel control it?
Could he put the swagger aside and then keep it on the field because he needs to play with that edge?
I mean,
that's That's the way he plays.
Let's not kid ourselves.
That's the way he plays. He can be a man-child and just dominate.
Like Vrabel, I believe.
We're not even talking about where is he at?
Dez?
Yeah, has he lost a step? Is he? I heard he was. His times are still good, right?
No, I think. Well, I think he's always slow, but now I think it's like he's slower.
Is he slower? Because that's a whole. I mean, we're not even talking about that.
So, like, I think Dez could actually really help the Titans. Like, Dez the talent, Dez not like Dez the jerk. No, like you can't have Dez blowing up on the sidelines because Mariota decided to throw the ball to Deion Lewis instead of him. Like, you can't have that. Dez the like what Dez's talent is even at 29 years old. I think plays here right now. The one thing I do wonder though is like. I mean, you watch Jason Garrett on the sidelines of those Cowboys games. He doesn't do anything. Really? He just claps, you know? Like, he doesn't do anything. And I guarantee you, Jason Garrett's got zero control of that team. I wonder if
But that's Cowboy. That's
Jerry.
That's what they do.
So
they let him run wild.
Doing the cocaine and then going out there and playing ball.
That's a wild, wild west down there.
So I wonder if, like, the Vrabel, John Robinson – not Jerry Jones cowboy way. Like, I wonder if that could, like, contain Dez and get Dez to not be a total off-the-wall you-know-what. But if you can't rely on Davis, then you got almost nothing at wide receiver. And at some point you get to where you're like, I got to add somebody, and the best somebody out there is Dez.
How many years has Mariota played?
This will be his fourth.
Fourth year. Is he established enough? I think he's a good quarterback. He's not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good quarterback. Is he established enough to handle that ego, to handle that guy coming back in the huddle being like, you got to throw it to – like, can he run an offense with an ego like Dez in there?
I think he can, but I don't know. You know, like, I think Mariota can get up in a guy's face.
I mean, that's the big –
Like, I think he can get up in a guy's face. Because,
exactly.
So
that's what you need to know. That's there's a lot of questions. Can the coach, can the quarterback? Quarterback is probably the most important. Can Mariota go over to him and say, hey, I'll get you. You got to do this. You look at Brady, and if a guy doesn't run the route or runs the wrong route, didn't pick up on a read, and he'll blast him. Because it's got to be that way. It's got to be done.
Would you be cool with your teammate doing that to you the way Brady does it to his teammate?
It's only if it's Brady. you have to carry a big stick to be able to start yelling like that.
And so, like, Pekka, I don't think does that. But, like, let's say, somebody screws up and Pekka lights into a defenseman for screwing up and the puck going in the net and whatever. Like, I feel like everyone would be like, all right.
No,
yeah,
goalies can't do that.
Goalies can't do that?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
I mean, they can come in and call out the team in the locker room, but, a quarterback has to have control, and I think they have to be able to say they have to be in charge.
Well, I think that's a good question you ask. Is Mariota at a point to where you could bring in Dez? I don't know the answer to that.
Because I think Vrabel handle it, and then can Mariota handle it? If those two believe that they can handle it, and Dez believes that he can fall in line with those two guys, then then it's something you entertain. But I don't see it.
So Chris Sanders says he's at least changed his mind a little bit on Dez. What do y'all think? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, plus some of the other things Dak said about Dez. I think we can get into that as well. Plus, I got a bunch of Preds thoughts to get to that we will get to as some more news trickles out about the Predators and next season, and we can do some of that as well with Hal Gill. Plus, I'm really excited for this. So our friends at Pella Windows and Doors sponsor Ask the GM at 5 o'clock every Thursday. Ask the GM. Well, the GM's out, which means at 5 o'clock, ask Hal Gill. I bet you're excited for that.
I am excited. You know what? What kind of questions am I going to get?
Everything's on the table. That's how Ask Hal Gill works. But that's coming up at 5 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Jared, the GM. It's ESPN 1025, The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Dak, I want to ask you this. Why weren't you and Dez able to have a better rapport? I know you threw the ball to him in practice. I knew you probably worked with him after practice. Why in games did it not correlate to better numbers between you and him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. I can't necessarily wrap my finger around that, or we'd have been able to fix it for the most part. So not real sure. I mean, as you said, we spent time. We worked in practice. We worked outside of practice. We put in the extra time, and I mean, but who knows? Who knows?
Who knows, Hal Gill? Dak doesn't know why it didn't work better. Who knows? What do you think of that answer?
I would say he probably knows.
You think there's a reason why he's hiding? And
like the next question I would ask would have been like, is that someone you? You know, like, do you know? And you're just not telling us.
Can we get that question again? This was on Fox Sports 1. Shannon
Sharp. Is that
Sharp?
Yeah.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp doing the question asking. And again, Dak's answer just kills me.
Dak, I want to ask you this. Why weren't you and Dez able to have a better rapport? I know you threw the ball to him in practice. I knew you probably worked with him after practice. Why in games did it not correlate to better numbers between you and him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. I can't necessarily wrap my finger around that, or we'd have been able to fix it for the most part. So not real sure. I mean, as you said, we spent time. We worked in practice. We worked outside of practice. We put in the extra time, and I mean, but who knows? Who knows?
What do you make of that as a former player?
It's funny. Like, of course you better have worked on it in practice. You better have thrown to him in practice. I mean, like, that's the dumbest. I know you worked in practice, and I know you worked after practice.
You're right. We did work in practice.
Yeah, we did. But sometimes it just doesn't click, right?
Or Dak's just not going out of his way to say he's not going to throw Dez under the bus, but that he thinks Dez is the problem. Well, and so he's all for Dez not being there, which would be a reason for me to not want him here.
Well, sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes guys just don't click. They don't get it. They're not seeing, like, football. It's more complicated than I could ever figure out. But there's a lot of reads that they're making, and if you don't pick up on those reads, then you're not getting the ball in the right spot, and you're going back. He's going back to the huddle going, I was supposed to be there. I was moving there. And he's, well, no, you didn't get that read right. You're supposed to be there, you know, and nothing worked. And then it just, I imagine that relationship just slowly dissolves because there's two big egos. Like Dak he's got a couple chips on his shoulder himself, right? I mean, he's got an ego. He's quarterback.
I don't.
You got him.
But I don't think like Dak is a me guy. I just think Dez is such a me guy that like, I just think Dez is too. Like Dez is the perfect player for the Cowboys. And when the Cowboys can't deal with you anymore, what's that tell you? You know, like the Cowboys have had enough of you. I mean, we talked about how it's a different world out there with Jerry and.
But he's big time, man. It's intriguing because it's – well, I was just looking. What are the other options?
Macklin and Decker. Jeremy Macklin, who is old, and Eric Decker, who was here last year, who obviously the Titans have zero interest in bringing back because they haven't made any effort to since the end of the season last year.
There's not a lot of options.
No. So it's kind of like roll with the guys you have, which Mariota said last week. He would be cool with rolling with the guys he has. But
all right, let me throw this out there. If you're trying to go Patriot way here, Titan way, is Dez a great guy to bring in?
Like, is the guinea pig?
Yeah, you know, hey, this is a Titan way, and Dez comes in and Dez does great, and you have tons of success, or it doesn't work out with Dez, and you go, sorry, Dez, we're doing Titan way, and everyone watches Dez get punted out of that locker room, and Vrabel says, that's Titan way right there, boys. I don't care who you are.
Isn't that like the Orson Welles theory? Like when Orson Welles would direct a movie, he would hire somebody so he could fire him?
Yeah.
So like he could show like, hey, I'm firing you. You know, everyone, look, I am willing to fire somebody. But the guy, like, already knew he was going to get fired ahead of time. He staged it, basically.
Yeah, that's the rule number one when you open a restaurant. You fire someone for stealing stealing money from you, skimming tips or whatever. You you fire him right away so everyone sees you.
I've never owned a restaurant, want to do but that. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you do that. I mean that's that like that's rule number one. So maybe that's Titan Way is established because Dez comes in. And then the upside is Dez falls in line and everything's great.
I was going to say, can't you use Dez either way in that regard?
Yeah.
Like,
it's a win-win, right?
If Dez comes in and you say, we're going to do things our way, this is how it works with the Tennessee Titans, and this is how we're going to do it, Dez, and Dez does it, then can't you say, this is how we do things. We are so dedicated to doing things our way that we've got even Dez Bryant doing them.
I think we figured it out. What's up next? That's it. That's the answer right there.
And if it fails, you cut Dez because you say, if it doesn't work, then we'll get rid of you. See
amazing.
Ya. Beat it.
They're establishing a culture, and Dez wasn't on board. He's out.
And Dez can't screw it up because if Dez does screw it up, he's already got a bad reputation. Plus, he turned down that contract offer from the Ravens, which was so stupid.
Yeah, how much was that?
I think like Joe Retro and I were looking it up the other day. It was something like 3 years, $20 million or something.
Yeah, you could buy a boat with that.
You buy a lot of boats with that.
You got to get a new house.
Buy me a boat. I think Dez
with
has
a truck
enough
to pull it.
I think Dez has enough money to buy houses, but I hear you.
That's a lot of money to turn down.
I don't know. I don't know. The more I talk this
through,
I think you could bring in Dez.
What kind of cheese are the Titans throwing his way? What kind of coin are they throwing out?
So I asked Floyd if he would do 1 year, $4 million for Dez, and he said no, but he'd do 1 year, $2
million. With incentives?
Maybe.
Like to get him, you know, because Dez, you know,
like, hey,
does that drive
six?
Does
but
that does with an ego like Dez? Does he say, "All right, I'm going to prove to these people
that I think
that
Dez
I can
gonna
that
retire.
I can do it"?
I think he's going to retire.
Or does he have it in him to say, "No, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove that I can be a team guy," and if he doesn't prove it, then he's gone.
So now it sounds like you're kind of in on signing Dez.
No, I'm turning a little bit.
Put Hal Gill on the board.
Well, there's just different ways you can look at it, right?
Can I put Hal Gill on the board?
Leaning that way.
Hal Gill is on the Dez train. Put Hal Gill on the board for the pro Dez Bryant to the Titans camp. So now that is a two-person train. Chris Sanders, Hal Gill. Both on the Dez to the Titans train.
That's provided that Titan Way works that way. If Titan Way is like, hey, we're gonna love you, and you know, like Cowboy Way is very different. Like,
do whatever you want Monday through Saturday.
Let the boys go.
Sunday,
get your White House and have some fun, and then we'll meet on Sundays and we'll just
play some ball.
We'll go nuts. You know, like that was the Cowboys I knew. And
Jerry's still running it, right?
Yeah. So that's a different way of running things. And I don't know if I don't think he's that guy. But if he wants to do it, you know, Patriot way, Titan way, then I think that maybe that works.
Put Hal on the train, on the Dez train. 615-737-1025. Got some news coming out about the Predators, or that affects the Predators. We will get to that next with Hal Gill, plus your chance to ask Hal questions at 5 o'clock for Ask the GM. He's in for Floyd. It's Jared and the GM. Stop by a Middle Tennessee Great Clips location, and you can purchase with a purchase of any service at Great Clips, you can get 50% off any ticket voucher to the July 7th Nashville SC game at Nissan Stadium while supplies last. So go ahead and do that. Get to Great Clips and do that. I actually go to Great Clips, and they cut my hair great. 615-737-1025. Hal Gill in for Floyd. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Hal Gill is in for Floyd. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Ask the GM. And by Ask the GM, I mean Ask Hal. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors. But first, got a little Preds news to get to. The NHL has released the cap number at $79.5 million next year. So 79.5, so almost 80. That gives the Nashville Predators $12 million, according to Adam Vingan of the Tennessean, $12 million in cap space for next season. And you know what I thought?
Who are we losing? We got Hartnell,
Fisher, and Alexi
Fisher
Emelin.
And Emelin.
So then you have to re-sign Saros, which is probably going to be about
$3 million. Re-sign
Hartman, which is going to be about $1 million. Why are you laughing at that?
I think he'll probably get a little more than that.
I can't stand Hartman. I think he sucks. Hartman drives me up a wall.
He's the kind of player that'll drive you up a wall because he's got to play on an edge to be effective. And so if he's over the edge, he's not effective. If he's too far below the edge, he's got a tough, it's a tough role to play.
No, it's definitely a tough role. And he's just,
and
not,
as a young player, he's going to find his groove. He's got to find his, you know, Brad Marchand is that.
He is not Brad Marchand.
Brad Marchand went through a lot where he was over the edge. He's still balancing playing on that edge, but he found his game within that. So
I think it'll cost you probably like $4.9 million combined to sign Hartman and Saros. I don't care if Mika Salamaki comes back, although he's got arbitration rights, and I'm not totally sure what that means, but I don't care one way or the other if he comes back, because I think you can go get him, and you can go get another him in Milwaukee, and I'm sure you've got guys like that.
All right, so now the big thing with the NHL now is roster spots. You have 25 roster spots, so you don't want to block guys out, but you want to go and get, you know, you might want to go get a guy. That's why I say it's okay to sit tight and wait for the right guy, because, you know, you want to save some of that cap space so that you can get, okay, this is where we're at. David Poile did a great job of signing Alexi Emelin to fill that need. He was a great guy while Ryan Ellis was out. I don't think people realize how important, how vital that was for the season to have Alexi Emelin on the team. And then Ryan Ellis comes back. Now Emelin's not as valuable, but he was so valuable early in the season, that first half of the season. So, you know, you look at right now, as far as I know, I think everyone's healthy, right?
Oh, yeah, for the
Hartman
most part.
Is going to be healed somewhere around beginning of the season.
Yeah, he'll be fine. So this is the reason I bring this up, though.
Yeah.
If you got about $12 million in cap space, or let's say it takes $4 million plus to sign Hartman and Saros, and then you dump Craig Smith off, which is what I'm hoping they do, that's enough money for one John Tavares. So now maybe you can hit the home run, even though they said they're not going to look to do that. But, like, one of those home run players, if you've got $12 million in cap space, you can hit a home run for one guy at $12 million.
Okay, now, this isn't your team. So do you believe that they're off the Craig Smith train? Like, do you believe that they don't see a future for him?
Like how – I think they're
– I know you don't see – you made that pretty clear that you don't like him. But I like him. I like the way he drives a forecheck. I like the way he – as a defenseman, guys like him drove me crazy because they were there before they were supposed to be, you know, and that threw everything off on your breakouts. That threw everything off. You know, he's a guy that pushes the pace. So I think you need a guy like that. You know, Arvidsson, Smith, you know, I think Watson at times could do that.
Well, that's the other side of the coin, too.
You're going to need someone to push deep. Push deep on the forecheck to change the game. And I think Craig Smith does that very well. And then he's got the speed and the crazy legs to score down the wing.
I think he just gets swallowed up against the big boys. You know, against the real good teams, he just doesn't. Like, he's great on a power play on a Thursday night in December.
All right, well.
But I need him in the Winnipeg series, and I thought that they were just too big for him, too fast for him.
Well, you talk about a real estate guy. Like, who is he playing with? He's playing with Turris and with Fiala. You know, he might push the pace, but who's the big boy that's going to – I mean, like, he's probably the toughest – the big boy on that line. Is that fair to put him in that position?
Yes. Yes, but it's fair to get rid of him out of that position,
okay,
too.
All right. This is the game that you play.
I look at him
now,
as
you're
like going to
let him
version.
Go. Who are you going to, you know, you're, okay, so you're saying you get rid of him so you can bring in Tavares.
Like a stud. Like, I want a stud top six forward.
All right. But because that's, you know, I think you're looking more at a guy like Wayne Simmonds. If Wayne Simmonds is going to be moved, I'd rather go and get that. With all due respect to Tavares, he doesn't. he doesn't bring as much to the team as I think a Wayne Simmons would do. Now you take Wayne Simmons, is he that – I think he's that guy that you put on with Smith – I'm sorry, with Turris and Fiala, and now you have – maybe they don't get pushed around as much.
See,
right? Is that what you're looking at?
Well, Wayne Simmons right now comes at a cap hit of – where is it? His cap hit is 395. Oh, 395, and he's up after next year. So you'd have to almost give him an extension, you know, if you were to trade
for him. He'd be a trade with a sign.
Yeah. But, again, 395. And so this would be the thing, too.
And he's a guy that I think is up in – I love him, so I'm putting him at 5 or 6 because he's a guy, you know, I think you lose Hartnell some toughness. I think it hurt losing Cody McLeod. That was a tough situation.
Can
where
you get
had,
something if you
where you had
Smith?
Roster spots that you needed to move Cody. I think I don't know this, but I think Peter Laviolette was devastated to lose a guy like McLeod because McLeod was a guy you put in and you say, hey, guys, we need to play more like, boom, put him out there, and all of a sudden they're playing more like Cody McLeod. And that changed the mentality of the team. Wayne Simmons is a guy I played with him, and I love his compete and his feistiness. He can score. He can get nasty around the net, and, man, I hated playing against him because he's tough. So he changes the way that the Preds play the game.
So I actually agree with you on McLeod, and I think what happened was I think they thought they could get McLeod through waivers, go to Milwaukee for like 2 weeks or whatever, and then bring him up and they couldn't. And I hear you on that. I do wonder, though, like, could they get something for Smith? Like, if you were to put Smith out there, let's say you trade for Wayne Simmons.
Of course you could. Of course you could.
Could you get, like, a
first? Is it what you need, though?
Could you get a first for Smith?
That's a tough one.
Oh, God, if someone gives you a first for Craig Smith.
That's a tough one. That's a big ask.
Oh. I mean, if you're going to give a first for Ryan, if Ryan Hartman is worth a first, Craig Smith is worth a first. Because I know I'm down on Smith, but I'm down on Smith as a top.
No, it depends on what time you're doing it. When are you gonna make that deal? I mean, that's, you know, the Preds are looking for someone. They need someone. They got a playoff push. Then you go out and get Hartman, and that's when you get top dollar. That's why I say, you know, maybe you don't panic right now. You wait until you can get more. Like you said, wait till the last minute and make that deal then.
So here's what we're doing now. Load up the phone line. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. Ask Hal Gill. Everything is on the table, although considering that most of the questions for Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville, considering that most of the questions for Floyd are usually about football, I would guess most of the questions for Hal are probably going to be about hockey. But football's on the table, too. Basketball, baseball, lacrosse, tennis.
I wanted to talk about how many pickles are necessary in a sandwich.
And if you want to ask that, that's on the table, too.
Because sometimes it's just too many.
No, that's totally wrong. You put as many pickles on that sandwich
but
as you
But I want
like.
More pickles, as but then it's, it's over the edge.
I've never had a sandwich where I thought there were too many pickles on it. But everything is on the table for Hal, 615-737-1025. And the best question for Hal will win a pair of tickets to see Poison and Cheap Trick with Pop Evil at Ascend Amphitheater on Thursday, June 28th. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. And it's next on Jared and the GM. Hal Gillen for Floyd on ESPN 102.5.